On Deck Radio, wall-to-wall baseball talk. With Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it.
Covering the diamond like the world's biggest rain tarp. Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman. On Deck Radio with 105 The Ticket.
High and deep to center. Going back is Ellsbury to the wall. Gone, a home run for Sano. There's a ball drilled to the left field corner and deep.
Stamp.
Gone, a home run. Second home run of the night for the Twins.
He hits him in big situations like that.
That one's not coming back.
Well, that one showed up.
He has a single, he has a double, and he's just hit his 14th home run of the year. That's deep to left. And there's another home run for the Twins into the second level. The fourth home run for the Twins against the Yankees.
Listen to the chuckling Roy Smalley, ladies and gentlemen, thrilled by the Twins' rout of the New York Yankees by a score of 10-1 last night. They come back now, have won two in a row. Of course, the big outing by Irvin Santana in California at the, was it now, the ballpark in Anaheim or whatever they call it? What are they? Are they the Ducks of Anaheim Angels, Tom Schreier? What are they?
They are the Anaheim Angels. No, is that right? Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles?
What is it about that market?
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's right.
Our producer, David Helmer, clears things up over there. By the way, we'll get to our next guest who's in studio. No, they're not Gene Larkin and Al Newman. Al Newman is on the golf course right now, somewhere up in the Alexandria Brainerd Lakes area, working really hard. And Gene Larkin is making the youth of America better. You know, I've got a great idea, guys. How about create a baseball show with a couple of baseball-busy guys who can never be here?
Yeah, well, hey, me and Brandon will step in. Hellboy, he's got it on the
Hello.
On the board.
He's making it happen, and now we have Nick Kennedy is in studio. He's the founder of the LegionBaseballHub.com. I'd recommend if you're driving around in the Twin Cities area to pull over and look up this website right now. Pull the keys out because you'll still be texting while driving. But anyway, take a look at it, LegionBaseballHub.com. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Look at that. We got you going. I served you up a nice little pitch there to groove up the middle, and you're comfortable. You're going now.
I'll be fine, buddy. I got you covered.
I feel it.
It'll be great.
I feel you and I did a podcast, and you were rock solid.
Thank you.
I mean, as good as it gets. I think I'm a little jealous because you've got not one, not two, but three radio interview requests for the golden, the very white golden tones and the soothing voice of Nick Kennedy. You're going to be talking about your new venture. We'll be getting to that a lot more later on throughout this program. And you can chip in here on the Twins baseball. I know you're a Yankees guy, self-admitted. I don't know why.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
And you want to know, I know why.
He's invading territory.
You want to hear this?
Because they win.
Huh. Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. They win. This is a team, you look at the lineup, you know, you take A-Rod out of there and you know, a couple of other guys. Who are these guys, Tom Schreier? I mean, they are absolutely a shell of what they were. Granted, they're 9-2, hottest team in baseball, maybe second or equal to that of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks of Angels Los Angeles. but the fact is they, they've been getting it done. The pitching's been solid for them, but this team is a shell as far as the big name draw it used to be.
Yeah, I suppose Teixeira and Rodriguez are playing better, and they, I mean, I feel like the baseball has changed a little bit. You definitely have some small market teams. The Royals obviously leading the division. Detroit's spending money. Los Angeles, some people said they're kind of Yankees West. You know, I mean, it's probably a little bit sabermetrics. It's probably just how the luxury tax works. They're kind of, you know, the changing economics of baseball. But the Yankees are always the Yankees. They seem to always, you know, do things first class over there. And that division looked like kind of a, outside of Boston, who I think is struggling a little bit.
Couldn't be happier. I feel so bad for them.
Very bad. Very bad.
But no, it seemed up for grabs. And it seemed like, you know, Toronto could hit but not pitch. Baltimore was kind of this up-and-coming team, but we're not sure if they'll keep it together. And the Rays somehow kind of stick around. I don't really know how that team is that good, but it looks like the Yankees kind of, at least coming out of the break, really, you know, took a stranglehold on the division over there.
It is July 25th, 2015, and right now we're still watching the standings, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Last year the Twins were sort of okay, hanging around maybe a little under the 500-ish mark post All-Star break, and then it hit the skids really right when they came back from the break, and then we know what August did in September. They scored a lot of runs. They just couldn't keep runs off the board. Right now they are 5.5 behind Kansas City. Going into their game in California, I want to call them the California Nick, you know what I'm talking about.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
But if
we'll
you,
get this.
If you No, we won't. And it's straight protest. But if you go back to our era, were they the California Angels when you were a kid?
I was born in 89, so my guess is they were. I don't know.
Yeah, they were.
Because Angels in the outfield, they were the California
Their best Angels lid they ever had was the blue one with the CA.
Yeah.
That was probably 93, 4-ish. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was good.
And then, so Tom, they had the best hat I think they've ever delivered. And then they just absolutely shot themselves in the foot and went into that thing with that powder blue thing with the A. Remember that? And then it's been on since. But anyway, they win a game there where it was feeling like, geez, they need a big performance out of Irvin Santana. They get it. Kansas City loses that day. Okay, they're 6.5 out. They pick up 2 games in 2 days, and now they're 5.5 out again. I don't know if first place is really realistic with how good Kansas City is, but this is a pretty good Twins ball club, and they've really, you know, created a little separation between themselves, Detroit, Cleveland, and Chicago. I mean, it's goodnight Irene for Cleveland and Chicago, and look at what they've got for pitching staff in Cleveland. It's still bizarre that they can't catch the baseball.
Yeah, just a real quick history on this. California Angels, they were that from 1966 to 1996, so that was...
That's the one I liked.
Yeah, and so it was the Los Angeles Angels from 61 to 65, Anaheim Angels 97 through 2004, and then from 2005 to the present, they have been the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
It's been that long.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I guess when I was a kid, they were the California Angels for a little bit. But
so should we be the Minneapolis Twins of St. Paul and Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm glad we're not. I'm glad they're just the Minnesota Twins. But you were talking about Irvin Santana. That'd be the guy who I'd have pitch that, you know. Wild card game if he could. He is, you know, suspended.
Is for that game he's not eligible, correct?
Because no, considered it's any postseason game.
Oh,
is
I thought
not.
You meant when you're saying wild card. I was thinking if he had a game 163.
Yeah, my guess
would
is
he be able to pitch that?
I
one?
Think so because it's in okay. The regular season. And I'd be doubtful that they're going to come down the wire. You mentioned Cleveland and their pitching staff. They're considered kind of the pitching staff of the future. What you want, you know, with how baseball is constructed. I'm surprised that they can't get enough offense. And that'd be a team. I always told people, be careful assuming that Cleveland's out of it. And with the White Sox, they're not getting rid of Chris Sale. That's a great contract. I think they feel that they can still compete. You know, Detroit's probably the one. I talked to one of their beat writers for the Detroit News, and he said, you know what? People around here are worried that that's kind of a difficult situation. They're kind of sellers, but they can't completely burn down. And they're spending a lot of money on a team that seems to be heading the wrong
Cabrera's
direction.
Cabrera's out till what, middle of August at best?
Yeah.
Who knows what he's going to be like when he comes back. They've dug the hole for themselves. I think when you lose Max Scherzer, that's bigger than you would think it is. Ever since that picture of Justin Verlander looking about as brutal as possible in the mirror with his gal came out.
No.
Think about that. When that picture came out, what's his record? You go to the date when that picture came out. I'm not saying that's why.
Yeah,
but,
it's probably injuries and obviously the contract. He's going to have a lot of pressure.
That could have been. Nick, did you see that picture?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Tell me that's not the softest picture of a male you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not what you're looking for. That's not what you're looking for.
I mean, I think I just pack it up and go home. And I'm just saying, since that came out, I don't know what the record has been really rough. So now you don't have him to fall on. Price is, you know, where's
probably
he going to land?
Traded.
Absolutely. Yep. So now you start looking at your staff and you go, oh, what do we really have here?
Yeah, and it's hard to hit yourself out of trouble. I mean, I feel like as much as that's probably where you develop fans, as people love the long ball, they like the fast guys, a Byron Buxton who can cruise around the bases. I mean, ultimately, it's hard to win if you don't have pitching. There's been years, even locally here with the Twins, where the pitching staff kind of imploded, and they still had guys who could
the
cruise
piranhas.
Friends. Yeah.
You know, the piranhas back in the day, and you know, we talk about the Twins of today and yesterday, and you know, one of the things David Helmer brought up here on our rundown of what we're going to talk about today is from the Yankees Twins perspective, how Maurer and Hunter were quite familiar with those struggles, not only during the postseason, but the regular season. And you know, you kind of do get a feeling when you watch the Twins blow the ball out of the park like they did yesterday against this Yankee team, that they don't really care about that. These are two different regimes now. The guys, the Posadas and the Jeters of the world, the Bernie Williams, all of that Pettit, those guys are gone. And there's been complete turnovers for both teams.
And the Sandman.
The Sandman, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
You know, that changed things out. big time. But do you guys feel as though that's a thing of the past?
The Yankees is a winning team?
Good morning. No, I mean the fact that they used to own the Twins regular and postseason. Both rosters have turned over. Their key players that were so good for so long. And by the way, I will add, most of the key components of the Yankees product from when they turned the corner in 96-97 were their own, with some additions, pieces added, Clemens here and there. But really, those key players were theirs. You look at this team, you know, a guy like Gardner and those kinds of guys, they're their own. I'm wondering if this is going to be part two of that as they've built. They did a nice job building their team from within and then adding the key components.
Yeah.
That said, do you feel like these two teams, that whole vibe and gig is gone right now and that the Twins might have the upper hand?
You know,
it's
when,
one game.
When they, well, I mean, when they built Target Field, I felt like the curse should end because all of a sudden you can spend on players. I felt like the Twins, their model is still – you know, grow your own or develop your own players, but now you can retain them. And you can also go make a move like they did with Phil Hughes, who has that good year, lock him into an extension. Obviously, the Mauer contract seemed to signify that, hey, if we have, you know, a homegrown player that really, blows the, you know, everyone out of the water, hey, we'll retain them. They will remain a Twin, unlike Torrey Hunter, who obviously, when he comes back, you kind of go, well, why did they ever let him go?
Well, probably because he wanted to go.
Well, it seemed like the Twins offered him a 3-year deal. To my knowledge, and I wasn't covering the team then, but they offered him a 3-year deal. And
4 years, 60.
Was that right?
That's what the Twins offered Torrey Hunter before he took 5-year, 80.
5 years. That's right.
He took the same deal with one more year, but my understanding was that he just wanted to go. And I think he did. And Johan Santana was in the same boat. They were offering them the money, and they're free agents. They built themselves that opportunity to take an offer in a community they wanted to go to, but it has gone full circle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's nice bringing him back. He brought the smoke machine with him, famously. And
Do you think that's why they're playing well at home?
Honestly. I think there is some incentive. It's kind of a fun incentive when you win. It's not as though players want to lose or you know, obviously, even in years when they were losing a lot, they were always often beat up after a loss. But, no, I think he helps. And he helps Aaron Hicks, who's their center fielder, too, as well as Byron Buxton, who's coming
that's
up.
That's segment four.
Well, I apologize.
No, I'm joking. We can talk about it for a whole segment. That's how big that is.
Yeah, no, I think he's, you know, I talked to Aaron Hicks a little bit, and just talking to him, Tim Doherty, who's the AAA hitting coach, talking to Bernanski, all those guys emphasize, look, he's always had the skills, the raw talent. And Terry Ryan said this from the beginning. He could always make the defensive plays. He needs someone to help him at the plate. And I feel like with Aaron Hicks, it's often been mental. Preparation, getting in routine, knowing what to do if you go 0-for-3, knowing not to get overexcited if you have a good day at the plate. So I think that, you know, what Torrey Hunter's always said is basically, if he has this mentality that he's one of the most athletic guys, if not the best player out there on the field, he's going to, you know, his talents will manifest themselves when he's on the diamond.
Nick Kennedy's a state champion coach at the Legion level who's had all sorts of players with all kinds of character. You think about Matthew Hoppner and the things that he did for your team back in 2012 when you won it. How vital is it? I know we kind of joke about the smoke machine and me asking, you know, if that makes a difference. But as far as vibe is concerned and leadership from what he gives to Hicks, how critical can one player be to that whole tone of your ball club?
I think it's very, very critical. I can only speak from a Legion level, but when you have these high school kids who are young, impressionable, we used to hang a sign in our dugout that said, boom, how you like me now?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a POD song. And just the vibe that you got and the mojo and how everybody kind of wrapped around it, I think is absolutely huge, no matter what level you're at.
So it does matter, no question.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's been a key factor to that. A couple of more things I want to touch on real quick. Phil Hughes, absolutely lights out yesterday, mixing speeds, breaking pitch was on, really did a nice job of putting the New York Yankees on their heels. He's now 9-6, Tom Schreier. I mean, after a tough start, this guy could have another 15 to 17 win season.
Yeah, no, he said it was dead arm. He said this to me, and I think he said this pretty publicly, that you know, he obviously had a lot of usage last year, and he was not getting the velocity he wanted, not getting the location he wanted. I think one of the tough things they always say with golf, for example, after your best round, you always the next round is really difficult. Well, when you have that strike to walk ratio, and when you pitch like you did last year, there's not only going to be a lot of usage, but also from a mental standpoint, that's a hard standard to hold yourself to.
Absolutely. And one of the things, too, is that Aaron Hicks was 0-2, gets the count all the way up to full, and then knocks in a run for an RBI single. This is a guy that we spoke about in the past where it was like, where is he going to go? What's going to happen? To me, the bigger talker is, I love his defense. I haven't seen Byron Buxton. In my opinion, he doesn't exist because I haven't seen what he can do at the major league level. I might be called a jerk. I might be saying, you know, that's a little harsh. But, you know, you got to be healthy to play this game and be in the lineup. And Aaron Hicks has been that, and he's executing, hitting over 260 right now.
It's something to learn, though, that Aaron Hicks said he never really got hurt until he got to the major leagues, and now he's learned how to pick up where he left off after an injury. So hopefully he can pass that on. Him and Hunter can pass that on to Buxton.
And kind of staying in the lineup, too. Yeah. We're going to take a timeout. Five questions comes up. This is On Deck Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. And we welcome you back to On Deck Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket, along with producer David Helmer and kind of tri-host, I would call you.
Sweet. I made it. It was the tri-host.
You're somebody now. You're kind of...
part of the tripod?
Well, I was going to work the jerk thing. You're somebody now. There's somebody who doesn't like these oil cans scene, but we're good. Remember that one, Kendall?
I do not.
Did you ever watch The Jerk?
I have, but it's been many years.
I am...
Oh, where he's shooting at the oil?
Yeah.
He goes, I do know.
Hey, somebody hates some. Somebody doesn't like these cans. Good as it gets. You haven't seen it?
Oh, I have, but it's been... many years for me.
A couple too many shanties.
The funny thing about Steve Martin is he's always looked the same, hasn't he?
Pretty much. The gray hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so he looked old in 1977, and he looks old in 2015, but weirdly younger.
Yeah, because you see a guy like Chevy Chase, for example, who looked young when he was younger.
Oh, boy,
and now,
he is just right.
Now he's old.
You know who's a guy who hasn't aged
pile
a
of
bit?
Old.
And the older people, and did you ever watch Three's Company?
No, I don't think so.
Have you?
Jack Tripper?
No, the Great Late. No, remember Jeffrey, the bald guy?
I don't know if I do.
Oh, he is the dad in Hangover. He was Zach Galifianakis' dad. That guy was Chrissy's boyfriend. Remember way back?
It's like Jeffrey Tambor.
Is that his name? But his name was Jeffrey on the show. I think that's who it is.
Yeah, he's also the dad in Arrested Development.
Yeah, he
pops in a lot of things.
Yeah, he's always the dad.
But he's looked the same
since 1977. I swear to you, when he pops into these shows, you just laugh and you go.
I didn't realize he was that old.
You needed to see him as Three's. I think Three's Company could be one of the all-time great sitcoms in history. It was all about the misunderstanding. Okay, one more on that one before we get into baseball here. Who is your favorite, Ralph Furley? Or Stanley Roper?
I'm going to go with Ralphie.
Why? You like the scarves?
I like the scarves. It was a little bit before my time, but I remember watching. I think my parents had it on a few times.
Don Knotts versus Norman Fell. Right. And you two don't even know what we're talking about, do you?
I know Don Knotts.
But did you ever see Three's Company?
Just a little bit. Suzanne Somers, John Ritter.
How could you not like that?
It's good stuff.
Man, I was front and center for Suzanne Somers when I was like in eighth grade. You don't think I wasn't bellied up about 3 minutes before showtime? Okay, let's go on to baseball now. Five questions.
All right, leading off overseas.
Boy, crickets on that one. That was brutal.
This is This is the changing world. There's no longer appointment viewing other than
I'm a Seinfeld guy myself.
Oh. I couldn't deal with that on the scene.
That's it?
It just drove
me
crazy.
What you couldn't deal with?
It bugged me. It just was so dumb.
It's a very small part of the show.
That bugged me, and then another show I couldn't stand was Friends.
Come on.
Who's like that? That's just so stupid.
Jennifer Aniston, another person who hasn't changed in a good way.
Yes.
No aging. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's incredible. The art of medical treatment can do so many things. I don't know if she hasn't had any work, though, has she?
I have no idea, but she's still stunning. She's like 45.
Is she your gal?
I don't know. I liked her when she was on Friends. Now I feel a little weird. Like, She's 45.
I see cougar. You as a Phoebe gal over there. Phoebe's your gal.
I have one girl in my life, Wags.
Oh, God. She's listening right now, too, isn't she?
I think she's working out, actually.
You just won trips. Well, she's got headsets on.
She might.
The earbuds.
She might.
All right, five questions.
All right, overseas, I believe it's a Japanese league. They are tinkering with a computerized strike zone, so they're taking out the human element of calling balls and strikes. There will still be somebody there to read the computer and for close plays at the plate. But what do you think about taking the human element out of baseball, calling balls and strikes?
Hate it. I almost question the fact of whether I like replay on close plays. Because I think the human element has always been a part of the game since we've ever known it. I can live with but it's already rough enough when you see Fox tracks and you're, you know, just about a eyelash outside. And, you know, I mean, that's part of the game, and we'll get to both of you. But I say no way, don't touch it. That is absolutely blasphemy to the game of baseball.
Yeah, ESPN, I think, has even just had a standard strike zone that they show kind of in live time. My thing with replay is that it should get the obvious stuff. I think back to 2009 with the hit Maurer should have had or whatever. And I think that kind of stuff, you know, if you can look at it within a couple minutes or a couple seconds, be like, okay, this is the right call, then you get everything else sorted out. Otherwise, if it's a really close call, I think you kind of go with the judgment of the umpires. It is frustrating occasionally to see an umpire who makes calls. Torrey Hunter's accused a couple umpires of this, of kind of a revenge caller. You know, he's been chirping at him all game.
The human element.
Yeah. I'm fine with it because at least I think it was Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated, one of the best in the business, did a study on this, and he goes, it's basically not as bad as you'd think. And keep in mind that the Fox tracks isn't always right, nor is ESPN's thing always right. So I don't know. I mean, the guy with the best angle is the guy behind the plate. I know people who sit in the back or people who are close enough to see balls and strikes in the arena say, well, no, that looks like a strike. It looks like a ball. You don't have the best angle on that. I think you're right. I think you do need a consistent strike zone, but I think you want the human element.
And I think they're really good. And part of the game, Nick Kennedy, is adjusting to what that human element's giving you from behind the plate. That's the beauty of it.
Right. My answer to that question would be, I am a definite traditionalist. I used to have a hard time with the kind of in the high school baseball season here in the state, in this tropical state of Minnesota.
It is tropical.
Oh, yeah. Especially in, you know, May 31st when two high school teams are playing each other in the snow. So I would prefer to have umpires and take everything else away like it used to be when I was watching Cubs games in sixth grade at the cable station. I forget what's called. WGN.
Yeah. If you like Harry Carey, he might pay a visit. Yeah. So there you go. Question two.
All right. With Miguel Sano in the lineup, this stat may have jumped a little bit after last night, but the Twins are scoring roughly 40% more runs. So if you're a young kid and you hear a stat like this, does this add more pressure to you, or do you use it as motivation to keep going out there and performing?
40 more percent runs this year at this time than last year?
Well, since... with him in the lineup since like the beginning of July, whenever he was called up.
Okay. And the back half of that question was, I got stuck on that.
Too much pressure.
I
ADD'd
you. Sorry, what was that last for?
So if you're a young guy playing baseball and you hear that stat, is that going to be something that adds too much pressure for him and possibly starts pressing at the plate, not performing quite as well? Or is it something he's going to use as motivation and continue to progress?
I think as every young player goes through, they are going to be pitched to where they get themselves out because they now have books and expose themselves a little bit, and it gets tricky. He seems to be, you know, I've compared him to Kirby Puckett in the regard that he's always smiling. He's aggressive. He can hit the ball anywhere it's pitched and hard and far. He's not Kirby Puckett, but he is the same type of mold, I would say, as far as personality. If anybody can get through that type of scenario, I think it would be Miguel Sano. But I do think he, at some point, will have his downtime.
I think
not bad.
You hope a young player uses it as motivation, but more than anything, what I've noticed with players the Twins call up is if they're known for their defense, they have trouble, obviously, at the plate. If they are known for, you know, playing well at the plate, you have Rosario hit the home run, right? First pitch you ever saw. He's hit, you know, we always talk about the rookie wall. Well, isn't he breaking through the rookie wall a little bit? You know, making adjustments as he goes along. And I think, you know, guys like Danny Santana and Kenneth Vargas really had trouble making the adjustment and kind of taking the next step. You hope Sano really just focus on what's the
other adjustment.
Success
for Santana, success for Vargas, both sent down. and I think we're saying that he probably can stay, given what we're seeing.
Yeah,
but
I think
it might happen.
I think he's like Rosario, where you're gonna, you know, people are gonna say, well, he's hitting a slump or he's hitting a rookie wall, and you got to be careful again labeling all the guys, you know, saying they're all the same. I think Rosario is really a special talent, and that's why he's done well at the major league level. And Sano is something else too, and I think he's gonna have his struggles, but I think we should see those as slumps rather than, you know, he needs to be sent down or it's getting in his head or anything else like that.
I agree. A quick one from you.
Yeah, I think that all of these guys, especially at the pro level, they've been, I'm not going to call them superstars, but they've been, you know, the best on their team, if not, you know, one or two of the top best on their team. I think they perform well under pressure. I think he'll be just fine.
Question number three.
All right, three questions left. We only got a couple minutes, so we're going to have to speed through these. This one should be relatively simple. Torii Hunter has been productive even at 40 years old. Will he be back in Major League Baseball next year, and will it be in a Twins uniform?
Yes and yes. Why wouldn't he be? No reason not to, and they'd be fools for what he's done to not bring him back. I don't care the price.
Yeah, I think they will. I think the question is how you configure the outfield, just because Aaron Hicks looks like he should be in the majors. Is Byron Buxton there?
That's
if he is,
fair.
Yeah, and then if you have Rosario, I would like to see Hicks, you know, Buxton, Rosario as your outfielders. But Torii Hunter will slow down at some point. At the same time, you ask anyone, great genetics, really good work ethic, has something to offer in the locker room. So I think he's back next year.
Plus, I think he's a huge mojo guy. I think he comes back.
All right. Trade deadline coming up. Next couple questions deal with that. Twins reportedly looking into a possible hitting catcher to help out Kurt Suzuki when they take him out of the lineup, but they also need some relief pitching. What do you think is the more pressing need for the Twins in these next few days?
Kurt Suzuki, interesting study there. Really hit the ball well last year. Deserved his all-star appearance. That's the part that's sort of got the proverbial eyebrow raised. Like, what is going on here? But a solid receiver. I think the bigger need is the bullpen. It was very good, I think, in May and maybe into June. Big Red, Blaine Boyer has been okay of late. Solid.
And Thompson was good for 2 months.
And
basically,
he was good for 2 months. Yep. Back down to Triple A. You know, I'm not. Casey Fien, it seems like it's a struggle with him lately. He was so good for the past 2-3 years. I don't think he's as good as he was, or at least I should say as effective as he was. Brian Dunsing, to me, has been very good out of the pen. The lefty has really found his game after some injury woes. He's become quite dependable.
Yeah, I think he needed to get going, and they said kind of once he got some confidence back, he's now at the same time, he's a guy who's, you know, in his 30s. You kind of wonder, will he have a Jared Burton? Like, who? Jared Burton, we forget, was a really good reliever for a long time. Had kind of a drop off.
Underrated.
Yes, I agree with that. I think the thing with the relief pitchers is you don't want another Caps for Ramos trade. You really don't want to just trade just because you're trying to get into that one wild card game that's a one game playoff. The other thing, too, is you hope that Nick Birdy and Zach Jones, some of your young guys the minors, can get going. And Terry Ryan has said they have stuff, and we know this. Birdie, I guess, was clocked at 103 or something like that. Zach Jones, I actually saw play in college. He was a really good player. I think those are guys who, it's a mental thing, and I think hopefully they can get over the mental hurdle and offer some of the team sooner than later.
Trevor May's been pretty good out there, too. I can live with the bullpen. That's fine. Would I like to see it get better? Yes, but at what price? Don't know. I do think a second catcher that can drive the ball would be a great thing, but I wouldn't really worry about trading too much. Question five.
Getting away from the Twins, but staying in the AL Central, the Tigers are reportedly shopping Yoannis Cespedes and David Price, so it's looking like they're going to be sellers at the market or when it ends on Friday. So, are the Tigers looking at a possible slump the way the Twins slumped for the four seasons prior to this one?
Their cupboard is incredibly bare. They need to get to the grocery store, and they need to start over, in my opinion. And, boy, when you mention the name of Cespedes, you go out to get that guy because you clearly think you're contending, or your ego is so big that you think you can get anybody you want. But this team, I think, is absolutely not going up before it goes down. So I would sell everything.
Yeah,
I would fire sale that baby.
Well, I think they're reloading. Dombrowski, I believe, is on the last year of his contract, so he might be feeling a pinch. At the same time, they're showing the willingness to spend. I don't think they're going to burn it down. If they have a slump like the Twins, it's because the pitching doesn't hold up. And as we've said, you know, they're starting to lose pieces here. Price, Scherzer, and Verlander hasn't been the same. So to avoid that, they need the pitching.
Mr. Legion Hub, Nick Kennedy, we're dialing in with him around the bend. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket, On Deck Radio.
Hey, how about a big shout out to Nick Kennedy? Yeah, Kennedy, he's out there and I don't know, Cedar Simon, Iowa, or wherever on the other side. But, hey, what do you say, Nick?
Boy, that was about Harry circa 1986.
Really was.
I would say that was the blue glasses era of Harry Carey.
That's a Budweiser era.
Of course, we bring in Nick Kennedy. He is a longtime coach at the American Legion baseball level, and he's had a longtime vision that he's brought to fruition. Well, I should say brought to life, that will come to fruition over the next couple of months, because there's a multitude of things that are happening with this. And if you're anywhere engaged in youth baseball, high school baseball, and interested in your kids playing at the next level, I think what Nick's going to have to say over the course of the next 15 minutes is very important and very exciting. And I can't tell you how much. You have three radio interviews today.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Two more tomorrow? Yep.
You have five.
Right.
You?
Jump on, baby.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these interviews, and it's for good reason. The website that he started was legionbaseballhub.com. You bought that URL how long ago?
Almost 3 years ago.
Following up on the old Hockey Hub thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So now this is living on a Point Streaks baseball platform, which is outstanding. You'll get to see the live scoring in full motion. We'll have some play-by-play going on for you at the state tournament. The one thing that we've learned, and we're going to kind of start from this perspective. I'm going to start with the success of the product, and then we're going to kind of reach back into what really this is all about. This thing has absolutely been on fire right now. A lot of people are watching it, but I think the bigger thing is not only what news outlets are saying, because they love it, and what the college coaches are saying, and that's important, and what the Legion coaches and the fans are saying and the players. It's all been, wow, this has been long overdue, well done, way to cover it, this is what's happening. But I think the bigger thing is what I've learned from all of this, Nick, is the passion that's built in from community to community for Legion baseball. Tom Schreier, you said something about Chris Colabello and independent ball not getting anybody out to his games because why?
Because people are watching out there. Western Massachusetts, it's a big deal. And I think, he said he
they're
had trouble
watching Legion
selling
baseball.
Tickets.
Yeah. So they were competing with, independent baseball was competing with Legion, which people, because it's sort of like a high school hockey thing. You have right. that local community in that program. So your vision of why this all came about.
Well, I've been coaching at the Legion level for almost 10 years, and it didn't start out as kind of a news hub that it is now. I know there's another couple buckets, which we can certainly get into, but it started out from the frustration of being a coach, and with the team that I was coaching at the time when we were entering the playoffs and the state tournament, I couldn't find any information on anybody, who we were playing, what are the stats, are they good, are they bad, who are their best hitters. And I'm not looking for, to be like MLB.com by any means, but it was created out of frustration. That was kind of bucket number one, with the frustration. Bucket number two was, which we can get into, is from a coaching standpoint, there's a lot of stuff that goes into getting your team ready for the season. Lineup cards, personalized dugout cards, baseballs, buckets, gear, swag, schedules, text messaging. All of that stuff that goes in from a coaching standpoint, you had to go to, 20 different, sources throughout the Twin Cities here just to get all that stuff on a baseball field.
So what you're really talking about is you've got a news product, right?
Right.
Which is going to fill the void of who's doing what where and giving kids what, exposure?
Right.
And that's what we always hear. And, we've heard a lot along the way about, Legion baseball is past its time. It's this and that. And that's the last time I'll say that, because it's not at this stage. Because what you've done is you've filled in the gaps with what some of the things that were kind of being mentioned as being maybe not the greatest about it at
right.
that time. And, one way I think of getting better is to admit where your weaknesses are. And if you have the ability to attack them, you attack them. And that's what's really going on here with this product and brand. But you're talking about building a marketplace and a store on this website for coaches, players alike, to go ahead and purchase product off of that website, right?
That's correct.
So you're talking balls, you're talking buckets, lineup cards, scorecards, fungo bats. You've got relationships with what manufacturers at this stage?
Right. We have solidified relationships with Wilson, which, as you like to say, is the also the DeMarini bats.
I love throwing that out there.
Right. Under Armour.
You got the hat on right now. Look at that. You're endorsing it. Right. Tiger Woods.
There you go. I think he's a Nike guy.
I know, but I'm just comparing you to him.
Okay, yeah, great. And we've had some initial calls with Evo Shield. As you like to say, everybody gets to first base, rips off their stuff. Right.
Hand it over to the coach, big league, and then go what? Two fingers up top, right to the sky. Right. Thanking somebody. Thanking the Lord, thanking somebody.
So what we want to try to do is make the storefront part of this as close as we can to an Amazon experience. And with my real job background, we have the right vendors and the right people in place to do that. The best part about all the revenue that comes through, we'll get to the third bucket here in a second, all the revenue that comes through the Legion Hub is we're going to donate portions back to American Legion Baseball.
So you already have to buy your baseballs, your lineup cards, and the other things that surround baseball.
Right.
You're budgeted for that. Maybe your Legion Post is paying you. You don't have to be a Legion team to do this. You can be anybody.
Correct.
But maybe you want branded baseballs now that have Post 320 on it, Post 471, whatever it would
Perfect.
Be. And maybe a little logo. That's awesome. It's big league. It's cool, and it's probably not going to cost you much more.
Right. Won't cost you any more.
Yeah, but okay. I didn't mean to price point you out. Sorry. then you basically have to get those. Everything's being funneled right back into the American Legion. You've got some coaches with some incredible talent throughout the state of Minnesota from corner to corner that are involved with this that I think aren't given the due, the respect they're deserved. I mean, we're talking former Twin Gene Larkin.
Right.
We're talking Todd Yonke, who's a USA baseball guy, Big Lunch McKenzie guy who's at Concordia
right
now University. You've got Scotty Hackett doing the job over in Eden Prairie.
Right.
Joel Godfredson's doing a great job over at Excelsior. There's plenty more.
Yeah. No, it's the response we've got from the Legion coaches here in the state. This thing's only been up for, 4 or 5 days?
Day six.
It has been unbelievable. I told my wife this morning I got 507 emails of people thanking me.
Are you joking?
No.
You took the time to count them?
Yeah. I mean,
God bless you.
And the reason I did that.
No, I think that's great. I think it's great.
No, it's just, and so not only from the Legion coaches, but also from the college coaches as well, as we're going through sub-states here and everybody's at the sites, the college coaches have come up and said, thank you so much. How can we help? And that kind of gets us into the third bucket of the
site. Before we go there, so to summarize it, you've got 306 baseball teams that participate at the American Legion level.
Correct.
Across the state.
That's right.
And you have but 4,500 across the country.
Right.
Now, in some instances, club and tournament ball have wedged out Legion baseball in portions of the country.
Right.
This happens to be the healthiest of them all. Wisconsin, New Jersey, Nebraska among the top four as far as where it's really alive and well.
Right, Ohio.
What all this stuff is, I've been around. This is my first rodeo in this kind of stuff where everybody's got a new idea. Well, I'm going to build a program here and, we're going to go play here, there, and the next place. Right, and then we're going to say, okay, I'll take $10,000. But anyway, right. we'll get, that's all fine and dandy. But when you've got an infrastructure in place where you have programs such as this with coaches such as this who are helping these kids prepare for the next level at the collegiate level, why would you blow that up? And it doesn't make any sense. So what you're doing here is saying, okay, we've got great infrastructure here. We got great leadership with Mike Perry, the executive director of the Minnesota American Legion Board. These guys have been baseball guys forever. They get it. They've acknowledged the fact that this needs to be brought to another level. Kids are being exposed. That's what you want. College coaches want to be able to go to these locations to find these kids and not have to go to, wait till August 16th to go to somewhere in Michigan or whatever it is.
Right.
So it's all right here, and it makes sense. So what you're really saying is let's funnel some money into this Minnesota Legion budget to help pay programs, maybe offset some costs, maybe pay for some coaches. That's up to Mike Perry and his team to decide. But my belief is they're going to have a nice check that comes in from your organization that's going to be feeding the beast, if you will. But the bigger thing is the exposure. I was at the Gopher Classic quite a bit because I worked that tournament for the Excelsior team that hosted it for their website.
Yep.
By the way, Sports Content Management is your content managers for your team, league, and tournament. That's Pete at d-app.com, by the way. And then I also have seen the I didn't even practice that one time, Schreier. and then there's the state baseball tournament as well. I have seen coaches everywhere at both of those.
Right.
I mean, four or five deep, six deep.
Right.
Radar guns everywhere, you know. I mean, it's quite impressive. So these guys now have the ability. Around the break, I want to come back and continue with you. Mm. I want to talk about your prospect series coming up next year.
Sounds wonderful.
Gene Larkin, co-host here of On Deck Radio, big behind that.
Right.
Stay tuned around the bend. More of Nick Kennedy right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Twins are opening up a gaping lead right now in the wild card race. I kind of mean that, Tom Schreier. They're up by four on Tampa, who's 49-49.
Yeah, I think they're very capable of getting into that wild card game. I know people got upset about how that system works when you add a wild card team and then you add another one, but I think it actually makes the races, you know, who wins the division.
It keeps things way
yes.
more. I mean, there's too many teams to not have to have that few. I mean, I think the NBA and the NHL with 16-16 out of 30, you know, if you get 50% of your league into the post, it's really hard to get in. In that instance, I think in baseball, it was next to impossible back in the day when they just take four.
No, and I like this because it's more significant now if the Twins would win the Central, right?
Yeah.
And you get on a series or whatever. The one thing I hope the Twins don't do is mortgage the future, because I think they do have a good thing going. I think that they can have a good window where they're competitive. That's what 4 years will do. But
Terry Ryan will never do that.
No, and it was surprising that they kind of did it under a different regime. But no, I think you're right, and I think the goal there is just to really make sure you get the young guys going, because it's not as though Zach Jones or Nick Birdie could come in and come, you know, be in a high leverage situation right away in the major leagues. But you need, I think that's where you reinforce the bullpen, and if you make a move. It's probably in the offseason. It's looking at shortstop. It's looking at catcher or whatever. But I think it's reasonable this team makes the playoffs. Whether or not they win that wild card game, it's baseball, and that's kind of a coin flip in a one-game playoff series.
How long do you think it's going to be until Nick Gordon comes up and claims that shortstop role?
I feel like he's a ways out. I hope he might be a guy, though, who's like more defensively inclined. I don't know how good he is with the bat, but I wonder if it's a situation like that where you kind of move him back and forth until he figures out.
I've read he's a decent hitter, and he's one of those guys once you get
on
base.
I mean, Jorge Polanco.
He's 19 right now, I think.
3 years.
Jorge Polanco is another option there internally. That's why you probably don't go get Tulowitzki, who you're going to owe a lot of money for a long time.
You guys are tough, man. I mean, this team's a playoff team right now. At the beyond halfway point, you're already looking for replacements in the minors.
Well, catcher's one. With Josmo Pinto going down, I think that's a concern with the way Kurt Suzuki's hitting. And they'll try Nunez, Eduardo Nunez.
I can't give up on Kurt Suzuki yet, though. I just can't. I can't do it. I ride him into the post. I just do.
I think they will. I doubt AJ Pierzynski would come back. I feel like
he's looking like a
they turned down an offer
fool for that one.
Yeah.
Nick Kennedy, we'll jump back into you real quick as we were talking about your buckets of American Legion baseball, and this is a very important one. You have a prospect series that you've put together with Gene Larkin and Todd Yonke, among others, and I think the idea of this is, you know, there are players out there that they're looking pretty good, but I don't know if the phones are really ringing that hard.
Right. Part of the reason behind our Legion Prospect Series on the Hub is to take these athletes, these kids, these baseball players here in the state of Minnesota, and drive these college coaches to the most credible and most trusted source for their recruiting efforts. And how do we do that? Through a couple different ways. Number one is we're gonna host 2 times a year. We're still working out the details of it. What's called the Legion Prospect
Series.
And
this is going to be probably about September when you release this, correct?
Correct. Yep. Okay. Should be the next couple months here. And what the Legion Prospect Series is going to do is, and real quick, going back to the sub-state tournaments that are happening now, I have all these college coaches coming up to me and emailing me just over the last couple of days. How can we help? Do you need our fields? What a great idea. Thank you so much. It just goes to show that I think American Legion baseball in the state of Minnesota is alive and well. And so back to the prospect series is get the college coaches out there, have them look at the players' profiles
on
our site.
Early. I mean, you're not talking about end of season, mid-season. This is like right after the high school season where the American Legion schedule has a moratorium where, okay, we're not having any tournaments because we collectively as a group agree we got to get as many under-17s in one spot as possible, which would be announced where you'll have it. It'll probably, well, it'll be in the Twin Cities, but it's going to be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is part of the structure that we do know with what Todd Yonke is calling a scout day. That's where they run their 60s and all kinds of things. But so that's going to occur early, so then they can radar these guys and then watch them in game action beyond a showcase game that you'll create the teams for.
Correct. And I think the biggest part of it is we want to get, and again, these coaches have emailed me over the last couple weeks of just their passion and the overwhelming response I have got from these college coaches is fantastic. Again, we want to be the most credible. We have access through these relationships that these great American Legion baseball teams have as coaches. You know, you take a Gene Larkin, you take all these guys. It goes beyond the South Hennepin. There's guys in the North, there's guys in the South, and put them all on one field and really make this thing happen.
So, tip of the cap, everybody should check it out, legionbaseballhub.com. Nick Kennedy, the managing director of said piece. And it is early. I mean, it's 6 days into its infancy stages here. It will come to life a lot this week as the state tournament will be covered like never before. I would suggest any baseball fan check it out. It's the core nature of what's great about America. It's about our veterans supporting baseball, contributing a ton of money nationwide so kids can play the game, be on a team, and really work hard to play the game that I think America always will and still loves.
Right. All we're trying to do is take the great product and the great history of American Legion Baseball and help promote it to the next level.
Great work, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's move ahead now to the Twins and the Yankees. Tonight, Sabathia and Malone go. Has CC Sabathia gotten too fat?
Yes.
I think that's generally accepted. He's also not the player he once was.
I know. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. I mean,
he was better when he was heavy.
Yeah, that's true. That was kind of a weird situation where, you know, does he do what's right for him? Or,
well, it's going to catch up at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting topic. I do think Tommy Malone, though, you know, who would have thought, you know, Sabathia Malone would be even, but Malone's been pitching pretty well since he got sent to the minors, and I think the Twins could beat up on Sabathia.
He had a rugged outing in Oakland, but I think you're afforded one of those about every 6-7 starts. It's going to happen.
I think they knew him. They were saying they were hitting those balls down in the zone. I think
they did, and they knew his trajectory because they're playing, they're defending it, and they knew the situation. That was a very fair statement. And Tommy Malone's not going to overpower you. He's going to sneak that fastball past you, and then he's going to spot it and keep it down and induce a bucket load of ground balls. You, Nick Kennedy, will be in the Champions Club working the prime rib.
I will. One time a year.
Are you on the aisle?
You know, I don't know that off the
You're
top of my head.
You're going to need to be.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm very excited. I've never sat in those
I'm
before.
Thinking trips to the restroom.
I think so as well. So, I think it'll be good.
So you need to be on the aisle.
Yeah, I think it'll be good.
Nothing better than sitting there.
Yeah, I've never sat there. My wife, who has been there, and I haven't, which I think is sad, but she's excited to go as well. We're going with some good friends. It'll be fun tonight.
You are going to have a blast. Other games coming up. Gibson will be going on Sunday. We have a couple of games against Pittsburgh. We should be seeing Francisco Liriano again.
Last time we tagged him.
I know. What's he going to be? You know the law of averages.
That's kind of like Malone thing. You know who Liriano is, where he's going to throw the ball.
And then a four-game set against Seattle. They take care of business at home with this nine-game homestand. They could be in trouble. You want to be within five. September 1st, that was always Tom Kelly's vantage point from the managerial wheelhouse, if you will. Guys, great show today. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Nick Kennedy, all the way in from his perch at the LegionBaseballHub.com to your living room. Tom Schreier will see you at the pregame show for the Saints. 5 to 7 o'clock down outside CHS Field. David Helmer, great job behind pushing the buttons as always. I'm Pete Wagner. Have a great day. So long, everybody.